ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். விவேக சூடாமணி, ஸ்லோகா 49. சிஷ்யௌவாச கிருபயா ஶ்ரூயதாம் ஸ்வாமின் ப்ரஶ்னோயம் க்ரியதே மயா யதுத்தரம் அஹம் ஶ்ருத்வா க்ருதாதஸ்யாம் பவன் முகாத. சோ வித் தி ப்ரீவியஸ் ஸ்லோகா, தி குரு ஹாஸ் அக்செப்டட் தி சிஷ்யா அண்ட் டேக்கிங் தி ரெஸ்பான்சிபிலிட்டி ஆஃப் கைடிங் ஹிம் இன் ஆத்மசாதனா. சோ வி சா அப் டு தட் இன் தி லாஸ்ட் வெபினார். Now in shlokas 49 and 50, the Shishya puts a pointed or very specific question, since the teacher has indicated the problem in the 48th shloka. So in the previous shloka, when talking about the problem, the teacher used some technical words and the student asked questions related to those words in shlokas 49 and 50. ஆத்மா, அனாத்மா, பந்தகா, பாண்டேஜ், இட்ஸ் காஸ், விவேகா, மோக்ஷா, திஸ் ஆர் ஆல் வேரியஸ் வேர்ட்ஸ் ஆல்ரெடி யூஸ்ட் பை த டீச்சர். ஸோ இன் திஸ் ஸ்லோகா, திஸ் கிவ்ஸ் தி இன்ட்ரொடக்ஷன் டு தி கீ வேர்ட்ஸஸ் ஆஃப் விவேக சூடாமணி, பிகாஸ் தி ரெஸ்ட் ஆஃப் விவேக சூடாமணி, தி 540 ஸ்லோகாஸ் அண்ட் ஆட், தே ஆர் ஓன்லி ஆன்சர்ஸ் டு தி க்வெஸ்சன்ஸ் ரேஸ்ட் இன் தி செவன் தி நெக்ஸ்ட் ஸ்லோகா. In all, there are about 7 shlokas that are being raised. I think somebody's phone is on. I am muting Shivagiri's. Okay. So, this is the introduction to the key verses of Viveka Chodamani, the next shloka. So, he says, the student says, O Swamin, O Lord, he has raised the status of the Guru now to Lord. So, that is the reverence he has. I am Prashnaha Maya Kriyate. The following group of 7 questions is presented by me. I am Prashnaha. These questions, Maya Kriyate, Kripaya, may you listen to them and with your compassion, kindness, Yadu Uttaram Aham Shrutva. I would like to hear the answers to these basic 7 questions. In fact, the entire Vedanta Shastra is Sapta Prashna Uttaram only. The answer to these 7 questions only. Any topic in Vedanta will fall into one of these questions. Bhavan Mukhat Shrutva. Bhavan Mukhat Shrutva. I want to hear it from your own mouth. Do not direct me to some literature, go to this library, or go and refer to this notes, this literature, none of those. I want to directly hear it from your mouth. Aham Kritartha Syam. Moksha Purushartha Praptihi. That is the philosophical fulfillment I will gain by listening to you, which includes other fulfillments like intellectual fulfillment, physical fulfillment, even emotional fulfillment. Aham Purnaha Asmi Iti Jnanam. That is what I want to gain. Once I gain that, all other things, they all become automatic. So please, I want to listen from your mouth only the answers to my questions. So this is the introduction to the Sapta Prashnaha. The 7 questions. Now we will see what are the 7 questions asked by the student. Shloka 50. Ko nama bandha katameshu agataha katam pratishtasya katam vimokshaha ko savanatma paramakha atma tayor viveka katamedudichyatam. So this is the key shloka, as we mentioned earlier, on which the entire Viveka Chudamani is resting. So what are the 7 questions? Ko nama bandaha. That's the first question. What is bondage talked about in philosophical scriptures? What is the bondage? They talk about bandaha. What is that? Bandaha means samsara. Actually, in Tamil Nadu, the poor wife is called samsaram. I don't know why, where they got that from her. Does it mean that all the men are muktaha? It's not, but somehow that name has come. And the self-identity problem is samsara or spiritual bondage. That is question number 1. And then, katam yesha agataha. How did this bondage come? What is the cause of this bondage? That is question number 2. Katham asya pratishtha? How does this bondage persist? That is the question 3. Because in creation, anything we experience, they go away, they wear away after some time by itself, in course of time. That is why there is a slogan also, you know, time heals all the problems. With time, with, you know, the things will phase out after some time, so that time will heal everything. That is what we normally say. In some cases, even if the problem does not pass away, the person passes away, whatever happens. Similarly, can we say that this bondage also in natural course will disappear? Can we ask that question? We find, unfortunately, that the local problems can come and go, but not the samsara problem. Samsara bondage problem is an unique problem, that it does not have a natural death. That means what? Without my effort, the samsara is going to be eternal, almost like Brahman. Why almost like Brahman? That is why in scriptures, samsara also is mentioned as eternal. Na rupamasyeha tatopalabhyate nanto na chatir na cha sampratishta. Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita. See, in the 15th chapter, what he says, the problem of samsara, he says, has no end. Na antaha. It does not have an end at all. It is eternal. It does not have a natural death. All other problems may phase away after some time, but not the samsara problem. Even death is not an end to samsara, because what happens? Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, that cycle continues. And even if pralaya, people say, okay, mahapralayam comes, at that time will the samsara problem go away? No, because even then the samsari jiva will continue in the next creation. So even after pralaya, when the next generation is going to happen, the samsari jiva will still continue. So samsara is persistent. How does it get the nourishment? That is the question. Pratishtha. That is the question 3. Then katham vimokshaha. How can we free ourselves from this bondage, from the samsara? How can we give up this persistent samsara? What should we do? That is the question 4. Because some people, what do they think? That they will go towards God only automatically. Everything goes towards God, right? They say all the rivers, they ultimately flow into the ocean. So that way we all jivas will reach God only ultimately. But our scriptures say moksha is not a natural process, and we need to work for it. Kaha asau anatma. What is this anatma? That is the next question. It is a technical word. Translation will be what? For anatma, the translation could be non-self. Atma is self and anatma is non-self. So the student knew this word also from the teacher in the previous sloka, sloka 48. So this is the 5th question. And paramaha atma kaha. What is meant by paramatma? The true supreme self. That is the question number 6. This word also the student has gained it from the previous shloka, the teacher said. And tayoho vivekaha katam. How can I discriminate between atma and anatma? That is the question number 7. So what is the genuine or true I and the non-genuine I, the self? So to address all that the three bodies, this sthula shariram, sukshma shariram, karana shariram, they all have to be discussed. And atma is beyond all these, that should be told. So all these various topics have to be discussed. So katham tayoho vivekaha, how I will get the viveka shakti, the discriminative ability. What is this difference between these two? Yetat uchyatam. May the answers to these 7 questions be given by you, O Swamin, O Lord Teacher. So in Sanskrit, this is called Pariprashna. This questioning is called Pariprashna. Specific, directed questions. It is not some general question. These are directed questions. Only then the teacher knows what the teacher wants. Whether the student wants, for example, teacher should know what exactly one person wants. He comes to some Upanishad lecture and then he is opening some office or something. I want to do namaskaram to get a prasadam. Unless he says, the teacher doesn't know. If he comes and sits in the Upanishad lecture, he will start from, you know, all these sadhana, chatushtaya, sampatti and all those things, he will start to him. There is no use. Unless the student exactly tells what he wants. Now, want the teacher's response from the next shloka, we will read. Shloka 51. Sri Guru Ruvacha, Danyosi Krita Krityosi, Pavitam Te Kulam Tvaya, Yada Vidya Bandha Muktya, Brahmi Bhavitu Michasi. So first the teacher, what he does, he congratulates the student in the next three verses. He acknowledges and congratulates him. Up to 71th shloka, they are all teacher's general remarks only, talking about the glory of this topic. And the actual teaching begins only from shloka number 72. So until then, it's all glory of this topic. The congratulation is also very hearty from the teacher, because majority of people are not interested in these seven questions at all. Kastvam koham kuta ayataha kame janani kome tataha. All these questions, who wants? Nobody asks any of these questions at all. 90% of humanity do not ask these questions because they are also preoccupied with other kama, artha, yoga, kshema, all those things. Yoga is also gathering things and kshema is protecting whatever you have gathered. So that's all they do. And among the remaining 10%, not many are serious about these questions also. So the teacher says, Dhanyaha Asi. You are really a blessed person. You are fortunate. And Krita Krityaha Asi. You are a fulfilled person also. The student is not fulfilled yet. He is still an Ajnani. But he says, the teacher says, you are fulfilled. You are liberated. This statement, even though it's not really true, what is the idea? You have got a serious desire. And you have come to the right place, and therefore liberation is guaranteed. Because your Ichcha is very, very serious. You got Tivra Ichcha. And because you got the Tivra Ichcha, you also have approached the right teacher, and I am confident to teach you. For Vedanta, two things are needed. One, the student must be really serious. Not like, okay, somebody is teaching something, let me also go and listen. Not that time pass kind of a thing. They have to have seriousness in listening to Vedanta lectures. And the teacher also must be confident that he can answer the questions. Then the result will be 100%. Otherwise, it will be only a time pass. A lot of people just only using it as a time pass or a casual listening. It doesn't work that way. So he says, you are liberated. That means what? Your liberation is guaranteed. Not only that, te kulam tvaya pavitam. You have sanctified your entire family by being born in that family. In the scriptures, they say that if a liberated person, if a jnani is born in a family, it will bless not only the liberated person and his family, it will bless seven generations also. Seven generations of all the ancestors, they will all go to, you know, they will all be liberated. Why you have done so? Because Brahmi Bhavitum Ichasi. You are desirous of becoming one with Brahman. You want to gain Brahma Jnanam. In short, you are desiring Moksha. So, Ishwara Praptihi. Moksha is Ishwara Praptihi. Many people go to temple not for Ishwara Prapti. Many people go to the temple. For what they go? But through Ishwara, they think they can get whatever things they pray for, they ask for. So, prapti. So, they all have other prapti in mind, but not moksha prapti. Whereas you have come with that desire to me. So, how you want to do now? Avidya bandha muktya. By giving up the ignorance and bondage. Avidya. Avidya is ignorance, ajnanam. And bondage is adhyasa. Adhyasa is misconception. So, you want to give up both ignorance and the bondage, the bandha. And by leaving those two, by giving up those, you will be able to gain liberation. So your desire is very genuine and you have come to the right place. So you are guaranteed for liberation. Shloka number 52. And the teacher also says, no one has come for this so far. And you are the only person who has come. So you are a very rare student. He tries to, you know, give a lot of confidence and congratulate the student. Shloka 52. Srunamo chana kartaraha. Pitusanti sutadayaha bandamochana kartatu swasmadhanyona kaschana prunamochana kartaraha. every human being has to fulfill four purusharthas. Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, we are familiar with all that. This is the duty or intrinsic urge of all beings. This Artha and Kama, that is material benefits and other desires, sensual desires, they are the needs of a lower personality or lower ego. Mostly they are related to physical security, pleasure, those kinds of things. If the person grows a little bit more, he is not just happy with the basic needs of physical security and pleasure and all. He wants to do something in return to the society from which he has gained a lot. So he wants to fulfill some higher values. He wants to look for those things. And these are higher needs, or we can call it self-esteem of the person. He wants to be a dharmic person. He has perhaps a higher ego, we can call that. And still higher ego is what? There is the spiritual need for moksha. They call it the hierarchy of needs. First, people want the security. Then they want entertainment and pleasures and all that. Then self-esteem. Then actualization. They have got all these terms, you know, hierarchy of needs and all. We call it Artha, Kama, Dharma and Moksha. So Moksha also is a need, because anything in creation has one thing in common. What is that one thing in common? Everything grows. Natural urge to grow, they all have. If there is any obstacle, for example, there is a plant. And if you have an obstacle in the way the plant grows, then it will find its own way and then turn in that direction, or the roots will go in that direction. So it will try to grow. So growth is something intrinsically sought by all creation. It's a natural urge to grow. But one difference between animals and plants and humans is what? In case of animals, it is only a physical growth. But for humans, it is not only physical growth, it is emotional growth, love for everybody, intellectual growth, knowing about everything, spiritual growth, all and are all innate urge. They're all inner urge. And moksha represents the highest growth possible for a person. Highest growth possible, that is called Purnatvam. Aham Purnaha Asmi. Infinitude. So, and in these lokas, the Acharya says that the Dharma, Artha, Kama needs, they can be fulfilled by oneself, or others can help you to fulfill them also. Even in case of dharma, the shastra says that children and other close relatives or a student can fulfill the karma, the ritual, for one person. For example, if sandhyavandana karma, if a person cannot do, the father cannot do because he is sick in bed, then the son can do the sandhyavandana karma for the father. He will do two sandhyavandanams, one for himself and one for the father. Whereas when the question of moksha comes, there is a difference. Only the person who wants moksha, only he has to get self-knowledge and reach moksha. You have to find time and gain self-knowledge. Nobody else can proxy for gaining that knowledge. So he says, Rina mochana kartaraha pituhu sutadayaha santi. Suppose father is bound by rinam. Some debt. He got some debt from somewhere. Because of this, he is bound because of that debt. If he has to be relieved, then sutadayaha. Sutadayaha means his son, daughters and all those relatives, all those people. Sutadayaha santi. Whereas they all can help to relieve him. Whereas bandhamochana kartatu. Bandhamochana kartatu means the one who releases a person from bondage is swayameva. He is himself only. Nobody else can relieve the person from this samsara bondage. So, swasmat anyaha kaschana nasti. Other than oneself, swasmat anyaha. Other than oneself, none can do, including Lord. Even Bhagavan cannot leave a person to gain moksha. Even the Lord cannot give moksha, because moksha need not be given. Moksha is owning up. It is my very nature. If it is something to be given, then the Lord can give. But it is already my nature, and I need to only have to discover that fact and own up that fact. So the Lord can at best give me the conditions for discovering that fact. So the Lord has already provided all those to me. He has given me a Manushya Janma. So I'm born in a Vedic culture which believes in this. But knowing or discovering the fact, I alone have to do, nobody else can do it for me. So, na kaschana. That is why moksha is called a purushartha and it's not called Ishwara Anugraha. Moksha is only a purushartha, dharma, artha, kama and moksha, which is manushyatvam. What is the Ishwara Anugraha? Manushyatvam, mumukshutvam and mahapurusha samshraya. We saw that earlier. So, moksha is purely my effort and I have to work for it. So, that is the message of this shloka. Shloka 53. Mastakanyastha bharadehem dukkhamanyairmivaryate shudhadikrita dukkantum vinasvena na kenachite. So, here the Acharya is trying to give another example. For what? You alone have to work for your moksha. He is trying to impress upon that. No one can work for you. So, mastakanyastha bharaha. Suppose somebody carries a load on his head, some weight on his head and going. Mastaka means head and nyasta means placed. Some load is placed. Bara means load. So somebody has got some load on his head. After some time, the person can be tired carrying that. So if you want to help that person, certainly someone can help that person. They can relieve him of that pain. So dukkham anyaihi nivaryate. Anyaihi, other people can relieve you, nivaryate, of your pain, your dukkham, of carrying that load. Similarly, in the case of dharma, artha and kama, others can help. Actually, mutually people help each other. I help you, you help me. Normally people do that. One can get chitta shuddhi by doing one's duty or rituals or social service. If people don't believe in rituals, doesn't matter. They can do social service. They all will give chitta shuddhi, purity of mind. But for self-knowledge, one has to do shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam oneself. I cannot say, go and listen to the lecture for my sake and I will get moksha. Doesn't work. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Yajnavalkya, he taught his wife Maitreyi, Vedanta. And he told her, you can be with me or if you want to go and pursue this goal yourself, you can leave also. Because as an individual, you can also pursue this goal and gain moksha. So self-knowledge is everybody else's, every person's duty. If they want to gain it, they all can gain it. So the Acharya gives another beautiful example here. Kshudadi krita dukkham tu. The pain caused by hunger. Kshud means hunger. Kshudadi, hunger, thirst and all those things. So kshudadi krita dukkham tu. Svena na kenachite. Svena vina. Svena means svena vina. Other than oneself, no one can relieve a person. Similarly, the pangs of samsara has to be relieved by oneself only. Nobody else can relieve me from my samsara. I have to only work to relieve myself from my samsara. Shloka 54. Patyama ushada sevacha kriyate yena roginam arogya siddhir drishtasya nanyanushtita karmana. So the Acharya gives the third example. Roga nivarana. Roga nivarana means removal or getting relieved from some roga disease. If any member of a family is sick, others can do everything else. But the main cure is what? Patyam and aushadan seva. Aushada seva. Consuming the medicine, that is aushadam. Aushadam is medicine. And patyam, the disciplines of food, like moderate salt, if there is a blood pressure, lot of sugar means less sugar, tamarind and all should be avoided. So all those things, there is should be discipline in consuming food. So the do's and the don'ts are called patyam. And these two, namely the patyam and aushadam, the sick person alone has to observe. Out of compassion, I cannot say, okay, the medicine is so bitter, I will take it for the sake of my child. Doesn't work. Similarly, samsari is a sick person. So he alone has to follow the do's and the don'ts. So rogina kriyate has to be observed by the sick person only. And arogya siddhihi asya drishta. The health or recovery is possible only for that person who has followed these two disciplines. Na anyanushtita karmana. Recovery is never possible for another person's patyam and aushada. Anyanushtita, the other person anushtita karmana. So whatever the other person, he observes the disciplines for me, it will not save me. So if you see in all these examples, Shankaracharya has chosen very carefully in such a way that we are not acquiring anything new. All the examples that the Acharya has given, we are not acquiring anything new. We are only removing something. Removing hunger and thirst. Similarly, health is a natural condition. For all of us, health is a natural condition. Sickness is not. How do we know that? It is very, very simple. Whatever is natural, one will be at ease with and will not struggle to remove that. Similarly, when you take medicine, you don't want to acquire health, but you want to remove sickness because health is natural to you. Similarly, liberation, happiness and all, they are like health. They are natural. And so samsara is unnatural, whereas liberation, moksha, is natural. And our struggle is only to remove samsara. Once samsara is removed, you come to your natural state of liberation. Because if somebody is happy, you don't ask them, why are you happy? But if somebody is sad or something, oh, what is the problem? That's what we ask. We don't ask somebody just like that, why are you happy? We don't ask those questions. When he says he's fine, why are you fine? Don't ask those questions. So once samsara is removed, you come to your natural state of liberation. So this aspect Shankaracharya discusses in his Mandukya Bhashya introduction very nicely there. So that is why in Sanskrit, health is called swastyam. Swastyam means swastyam, and a healthy person is called swastaha. Swastaha means swa. Swa means one swarupam. Staha means tishtati iti staha. So the person who is established in good health. So swastaha means what? One who remains in his or in her natural state, that is called health. Aswastaha means person is an unnatural stage. So in English we have got dis-ease means not at ease. So this is why Arogya example is given. It's a very beautiful example. To come back to natural healthy condition by removing the unnatural sickness. So the sadhana is twofold also. Patyam and aushadam. Patyam is the discipline and aushada is the medicine. So as important as the medicine is the discipline, the patyam. Similarly for moksha also, Vedanta Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam is the medicine. Aushada Seva, that is Aushada Seva. Vedanta Shravanam Mananam and Nididhyasanam and Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatihi, Viveka, Vairagya, Samadhi Shakti Sampatti, Mumukshutvam, all those things, they are Patyam. They are the disciplines one has to observe. But without following the Patya, the discipline, if one does Vedanta Shravana Mananam, no Nididhyasanam anyway, one thing is what? That will not go waste. Because even if the discipline is not there, if somebody listens to Vedanta, it will not go waste. It will remain inside potentially. Once the condition for its function comes in future, some situation, some friendship, some conversation with somebody, that might immediately spark the interest back. One will understand the need for sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, all this viveka, vairagya, samadhi shatka sampatti, all that he will understand. Then as he acquires them, the interest in Vedanta will come back again. So it will never go waste. Even if somebody listens to it only casually, it stays in them, and one day there is an opportunity for them to come back to them. Shloka 55. Vastu swarupam sputabodha chakshusham svenaiva vedyam natu panditenam chandra swarupam nija chakshushaiva jnatavyamanyair avagamyate kim. Shankaracharya gives another example here. He emphasizes that one has to work for one's moksha. Everybody has to work for their moksha. Again and again, he reminds us, since there are a lot of misconceptions. Here he says that this self-knowledge has to be gained with the help of my own intellect. An example he gives, if there is a beautiful moon and one wants to enjoy the moon, one has to use one's own eyes only. Someone else seeing the moon and giving the description of the moon will not help me enjoy it completely. So vastu swarupam means the reality. The ultimate truth is called vastu. Vastu has got two meanings. I think I have explained it elsewhere also. Any object in the world is called Vastu. That is one meaning. And in the context of Vedanta, Vastu means the Paramarthika Satyam, the absolute reality. And the corresponding opposite, Vastu, Avastu, that means what? Mithya or unreal. So Vastu is real and Avastu means is Mithya, is unreal. And that is one thing. So world, body, everything, whatever it is, up to Maya, they are all Vastu. Unreal, Anatma. Brahman is the only Vastu which is real. So derived from the Sanskrit word, Vastu may exist. So Vasati, Asti, Sarvada, Iti Vastu. That which exists eternally is Vastu. So that which is unnegatable is Vastu or Satyam. So Vastu Swarupam means what? Vastu Swarupam means the natural reality. So Svenaiva Vedyam have to be known by oneself. Through what means? Sputa Bodha Chakshusha. Through the eye of clear understanding. Bodha, understanding. Chakshusha means by the eye. So Sputa Bodha means clear knowledge. Chakshusha means eye. So Jnana Chakshusha Vedyam. Understanding, through understanding. And why he uses the Jnana Chakshuhu? Because the ordinary eyes never know the reality. So we need the eye of wisdom. They call the third eye, which is symbolically represented in the Puranas as the third eye in the forehead. An eye of jnanam, wisdom. There is no physical eye in the forehead. So people normally say there is an Ajna Chakram, and it's also symbolic of buddhi and activation of Ajna Chakram. They all means Veda. That all, there is nothing physically existing like that. It is only Vedantic study or pursuit. By pranayama, you cannot activate Ajna Chakra. So all those things, if at all it is activated, it is activation of buddhi only, which is Vedanta Shravana Manana Nididhyasana. So Bodha Chakshuhu means knowledge born out of Shastra Vichara by Vedantic inquiry. Through that alone, the nature of reality has to be known, not otherwise. By whom? Svena Eva Vedyam. Most important, it should be known by oneself. Svena Eva, one should be known. Natu Anyena, we have to supply Anyena, Anyena Panditena. Anyena Panditena means not by any other wise person. I have to know it by myself. I cannot hire somebody, a wise man, and say, okay, you get self-knowledge for my sake. He will get and leave. Supply and so, and an example is given here. Chandra Swarupam Nija Chakshushaiva Jnatavyam. The beautiful form of moon, Chandra Swarupam, the beautiful form of moon. Actually, Shankara takes the moon as the example because in the scriptures, moon is taken as the source of delight, source of joy. And that is true also. When we see full moon, there is joy. We are so happy about it to see that. So moon is Ananda Janakam. It causes Ananda in us. Atma also is Ananda Janakam, source of bliss. So this example he has given. So this is pleasing form of moon. So Nija Chakshushaiva Jnatavyam has to be directly experienced by one's own eyes only. Nija means one's own eyes. Anyaihi Avagamyate Kim. How can one can experience through somebody else's eyes? It is not possible. One cannot experience through somebody else's eyes. Shloka 57. Avidya kama karmadi pashabandham vimochitum kashaknuyat vinatmanam kalpakoti shatairapi. The same idea is repeated again, more to emphasize the purusharthas. So our free will has to be appropriately used. We all have got free will. All others can serve only as a booster. Without television, no use of just having only a booster aerial. And these days we don't have all this antenna and all. So without, we may have antenna, but no television, what is the use? So similarly, Ishwara Kripa, Guru Kripa, Shastra Kripa, they are all like only boosters. But the television, which cannot be replaced by anyone, any number of these boosters, that is what? That is my effort, my prayatnam. Unless I put my own effort, all the other things cannot help me. So the Acharya asks, Atmanam vina kaha vimochitum shakyat. Atmanam vina kaha vimochitum shakyat. Who can remove the shackles? Atmanam vina, without Atma. the shackles of samsara, who can remove without Atma? Even God, Guru or Shastra cannot remove the bondage. But if I work for their removal, they all can assist me. They can all help me. Therefore, Pasha Bandham, the bondage in the form of all these shackles of samsara, Kaha Shakniyat, who can remove Atmanam Vina, without Atma. Here, Atma means oneself. It is not Sachidananda Atma. It is oneself. I am, you know, the one who, here one has to help oneself. So that is what it means. So Kalpa Koti Shatairapi, even if all others are working for me for how long? Kalpa Koti Shatam means 100 crores of Kalpa. Kalpa Koti. 100 crores of Kalpa. Actually, one Kalpa is one day of Brahmaji, which is 2000 Chaturyugas. I have given this calculation in several occasions earlier. Brahmaji's life is supposed to be 100 Brahma years. That is, the Kali Yuga is supposed to be 432,000 years. Twice that is Dwapara, thrice that is Treta, four times that is Krita Yuga, Satya Yuga. All these four Yugas together is 4,320,000 years. And 1,000 such Chaturyugas is one 12-hour day of Brahma. And another 1,000 such Chaturyugas is one nighttime, 12-hour nighttime of Brahma. So, one 24-hour day of Brahmaji is 2,000 Chaturyugas, which is such a long time. Like that, he lives 365 days in a year, 100 years is his lifetime. So, even if somebody has to work for 100 kalpas, 100 crores of kalpas, it is not going to help that person. So, what is the bondage consisting of? The total shackles is made up of, is like a rope or a steel or some such thing like that. But human bondage or samsara, that is made up of an unseen rope with three strands. Normally a rope has several strands, and this rope of samsara has three strands. And what are those three strands? Avidya, kama and karma adi. Avidya, kama and karma adi. That is, karma adi means karma phalam. So these three strands are intertwined, and they are so strong to break. Avidya, avidya means ignorance. Ignorance of what? Of my own real nature. Atma avidya ityartha. And kama, which is the consequence. How? My real nature is what? Purnatvam, fullness. And if I am ignorant of my fullness, I will mistake myself as what? As I am incomplete. So purnatva ajnanam will cause apurnatva adhyasaha, the notion of incompleteness I will have. All of us are born ignorant only. We are all born with that notion of incompleteness. Then I strive all my life to make myself complete, because I have a notion I am incomplete. So it starts from childhood. The child starts with a toy. As he grows up, only the toys are replaced with different things, different relationships, different company of people, different possessions, houses, cars, all that. But it will not work by changing external conditions at all, external factors, since Purnatvam is within. So this struggle for completion is called kama, the desire, which leads to varieties of karma. Because to accomplish the kama, desire, I engage in varieties of karma, pravritti, karmas and pravritti, nivritti karmas. Pravritti means buying, acquiring all those things. And nivritti means selling, getting rid of. So I engage in all kinds of karma. So karma leads to karma palam. So kama, karma, karma palam. Karma palam leads to what? Punarjanma, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam cycle. So this karma cycle. So this power, this shackle cannot be removed by any method other than knowing the fact that I am Purnaha by myself. I don't need any external factor or condition to make me Purnaha. I am Purnaha myself. No external thing can make me Purna also. Shloka 58. Na yogena na sankena karmana no na vidyayam brahmatmaikatva bodhena moksha siddhyati nanyata. So the importance of self-effort is again emphasized. He puts an additional condition here in this shloka. Self-effort is not enough. That alone is not enough. It should be directed properly and adequately. Proper effort means what? Vedantic study. Shravanam, assuming that one has sadhana chatushtaya sampatti. Already he is an adhikari. The student is already well qualified. So he can start directly Vedanta vichara. If not, he has to qualify himself. So he has to start the effort from sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, viveka, vairagya, all those things that we have discussed earlier. So later he will say, even shravanam is not adequate because it is not adequate. The adequacy will be met only when shravanam is followed by mananam and nididhyasana. In following shlokas, Shankaracharya emphasizes the propriety and adequacy of effort, self-effort, our prayatna. Without Vedantic study, one may do so many other things very sincerely. I can do so many other karmas. They are of no use because they will not give me moksha. So, yogena na mokshaha siddhyati. That's what he says. Na yogena. Yogena mokshaha na siddhyati. One may study yoga shastra extremely very well. Yoga sutras of Patanjali, the commentary. They say even Shankaracharya has written commentary on that. I don't know. I'm not sure about it. So, one might study it thoroughly. But it is utterly useless for moksha because Yoga Sutra talks about dvaitam only, Veda Jnanam, which keeps a person in bondage again. So according to Yoga Shastra, Jiva, Jagat and Ishvara, all three things are different. So Yoga Shastra is called Dvaita Shastram, and even if a person studies the Ashtanga Yoga, which is a nice discipline for integrating one's personality, but that integration itself cannot give moksha. But what it can give? Previously, I was an unintegrated, ignorant person. Now, after going through Ashtanga Yoga, I am an integrated, ignorant person only. Because Yoga Shastram cannot give Aikya Jnanam. Jivatma Paramatma Aikya Jnanam, Yoga Sutras cannot give. It deals with Veda Jnanam only, that these two things are different. So even the Atma is many according to them. Atma Bahutva Darshanam. There are many Atmas, as many Jivas are there, as many Atmas are there. So Shankaracharya says, you may use yoga for maintaining your health, not more than that. So yogena mokshaha na siddhyati. Then what about Sankhya? Okay, yoga is not useful. What about Sankhya? Na Sankhyena mokshaha siddhyati. Even Sankhya cannot give moksha. Why? Because that also is a Veda Shastram only. Difference between Jiva and Jagat and Atmas. Atmas are many in number. Both are very close systems of philosophy. Both Yoga Shastram and Sankhya. This Sankhya. Only very few differences are there. One main difference between them is what? In Sankhya does not accept Ishvara. The Sankhya Darshana does not accept Ishvara. They have Jiva and Jagat. Whereas the Yoga Shastra accepts Jiva, Jagat and Ishvara. We can call one is Dvaitam, another is Trayam, whatever it is. Dvaitam and Traitam, we can call that perhaps. But both are not Advaitam. So both cannot give Moksha. And we should also note, Moksha means what? The Jiva Ishvara Ikyam, Aham Brahmasmi Iti Jnana. And we should also note that the word Sankhya has two meanings. One, the Sankhya philosophy of Kapila Muni, which is Dvaita Shastram. And second meaning is the word Sankhya is used for Vedanta Darshana in the Upanishads. That is why in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it is called Sankhya Yogaha, Vedanta or Advaita. Here, the Sankhya referred by Acharya is the Dvaita Sankhya, not the Vedanta Sankhya. So, Dvaita Sankhyena na Mokshaha, Advaita Sankhyena eva Mokshaha. So that's what he says. And in the Bhagavata Puranam also, there is a Sankhya taught by Kapila Vasudeva, who is an avatar of Lord Vishnu. He is not Kapila Muni, which is the other Sankhya Darshana, but he is the Lord's avatar who taught his mother, Devahuti. So in the Bhagavatam also, Advaita Sankhya only is talked about by Kapila Vasudeva, the avatar of the Lord. Then Karmana na Mokshaha Siddhyati. So yogena one cannot get, sankhyena one cannot get. Now karmana also. Karma refers to all rituals or worldly activities. Laukika, vaidika, karmani. all those activities. Any amount of worldly activities or scriptural activities cannot give me liberation. Here also one should very carefully understand, Shankara is not criticizing or negating rituals. Normally people take these shlokas and quote it out of context and then say Shankara condemned all rituals. This misconception. He has said very clearly in the 11th shloka of Viveka Chudamani, Chittasya Shuddhaye Karma. He has told, if you want purity of mind, you have to engage in rituals. Chittasya Shuddhaye Karma. Then what does he criticize now? Not the rituals, but continuation of karma even after purity is attained. That is what is criticized. For example, we all, before we take food, we all have the habit of washing the hands. Right? That is a karma. Before we take food, very important. But one cannot be washing the hands forever without eating. So gradually replace that ritual with Vedanta Shravana Manana Nidhyasanam. So keep on doing the rituals. Once you gain how do you check whether you are purity or not? The way you behave. How you can be the judge of yourself. How reactive you are. When somebody criticizes you, how reactive you become. Whether your thoughts are always centered in noble things. Who are your company? What are the things that interest you? These are the things you can do self-inquiry of yourself to find out whether you have progressed or not internally. So once you have reached that kind of a stage, that kind of a mental outlook, then Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam has to be done. So na karmana, renunciation of rituals after purity is criticized, and renunciation before purity is dangerous. Before a person gets, people cannot say, okay, Vedanta Shravanam, if I do, I can go to moksha. So all these rituals are condemned. So let me go and listen to only Vedanta Shravanam. Let me do that. It does not help the person because the inner purity is still not there. It will be only creating more confusion to him, and it will be maybe a disservice to him. Because he has not got knowledge also, he renounced the karma also. For that person, he will be only adogiti. He will not get any benefit. It will become worse than maybe even a human being also sometimes. So such people, Krishna says, they will become rakshasas and asuras, such people. So similarly, na vidyaya. The word vidya here means upasana. Not the self-knowledge, it is upasana, meditation. Meditation on whom? On Saguna Ishvara. Ishvara with all the attributes. Ishta Devata, some of those. So Yoga Shastra also talks about meditation, but they talk about meditation on various chakras. That is the difference. Yoga Sutras, they talk about various chakras. So Mooladhara Chakra, Swadhisthana Chakra, Ajna Chakra, all those various chakras. Vedanta, the Vedantins do not accept that. It is a non-Vedic prescription of meditation. Meditation on those chakras is non-Vedic. If you want to meditate, Veda says, meditate upon Ishvara. Chakra meditation does not give you any adrishta palam at all. When there is a contradiction between Veda and Yoga, what we do? We discount Yoga. We take only Veda. But when there is an agreement between Veda and Yoga, we take, for example, Veda also says pranayama is good, is useful. So does Yoga Shastra also. Yoga also talks about sensory restraint, sensory control. So does Veda also. So Yoga calls it pratyahara and Veda calls it damaha. Indriya nigraha is called damaha. So when Yoga talks about chakra meditation, and Veda talks about Ishvara meditation, what we should do? We should renounce, we should not take chakra meditation, and that Ishvara Dhyanam alone is to be taken, and that is called Vidya in this context. So Shankaracharya says, even that Ishvara Dhyanam cannot give me moksha. Why? Because you are still within Dvaitam. Veda is there, you and the Ishvara are separate, that is what you think, so it will not also give you moksha. But this criticism of upasana, that should be also clearly understood. It is not totally negated. Shankaracharya is not negating upasana or meditation, but negated it only after integrating the mind. Chitta ekagrata prapti anantaram upasana tyagaha. So after you gain chitta ekagrata, the focus of the mind, when the mind becomes chitta naischalyam, once a person gains that, then you can renounce that meditation. Upasana is the only means of making the restness of the mind, to make the mind quiet. Upasana is the only way. Vedantic study is not possible without a quietened mind. So Upasana is important. What Shankaracharya says is, after quietening the mind, do not continue on that path alone, but come to Vedanta Vichara, Vedanta Shravanam, Mananam, and Nididhyasanam. So na vidyaya. Then what will give moksha? You said none of these things will give moksha. What will give moksha at all? He says, Brahma Atma Ekatva Aikya Bodhena. Only by Brahma Atma Aikya Jnanam or Advaita Jnanam, Abheta Jnanam, only by that mokshaha, after getting these qualifications. So mokshaha siddhyati na anyata, not by any other means. Mokshaha can be got only by this means, not by any other means. Acharya is very emphatic. Shloka 59. Veenaya rupa saundaryam tantri vadana saushtavam prajaranjana matrantat na samrajyaya kalpate. In our scriptures, there are so many branches of knowledge that we all know. They all, actually, there is this Chaturdasha Vidyasthanani. That is 14 Vidyasthanas, disciplines. The four Vedas, six Vedangas, four Upangas, they are all organs of the Vedas. So all these things, they are all put together 14. In addition, we have got this Prasthanatraya, the Upanishads, the Brahma Sutras, the Bhagavad Gita. And there are many other sciences are also there. There are material sciences. There are so many other sciences, physical sciences. But Shankaracharya says, self-knowledge is not one of the disciplines which is optional. For example, a person can study chemistry or physics. He can study Tarka or Nyaya. He can study astrology or something else. But when it comes to self-knowledge, it is not optional at all. There is a difference between all other knowledge and spiritual knowledge. All others are all called aparavidya. We have seen this term in Bhagavad Gita. And this is paravidya. Self-knowledge is called paravidya. All others are material sciences. And this is spiritual science. And in Sanskrit, the word jnanam is commonly used for knowledge. Tarka knowledge, tarka jnanam, vyakarana knowledge, vyakarana jnanam. All are jnanams. One can study all of them and one can become a jnani in all of them. By studying Brahma Vidya, one is also a jnani. So a person who studied Tarka also is a jnani. Everybody is a PhD, right? Thus, even though we can call everyone a jnani, there is a very important difference between this jnani and all other jnanis. So jnani, the word remaining same, there is a very big difference when one jnani knows Brahmatma Aikyam and the others know everything other than the Brahmatma Aikyam, which all deal with anatma. So Shankaracharya says, the one who studies aparavidya also is a vidwan. The one who studies paravidya also is a vidwan by definition. By definition, one who has vidya is a vidwan. So both are jnanis, both are vidwans, both are panditas, but the result are totally different between them. This Shankaracharya tries to explain using a Sanskrit language punning derivation. He uses the word, the way he explains it here. He takes the word Raja. He takes a word Raja in this example. And in Sanskrit language, every word has a derived meaning, derived from the root by adding prefixes, suffixes and all. So you derive that meaning. So if you go to the root, we can derive the meaning of any word. So the word Raja has the root Ranj, to please a person, to give joy. That is what the root means. And Ranjanat Raja. A king is called Raja because he pleases the people. That is, he is supposed to please the people. So Jana Ranjanat or Praja Ranjanat, he is Raja. That is the word Raja. And we also know that Raja is the master or ruler. He has Prabhutvam. He is the Prabhu. He is Swamitvam, lordship. Sovereignty he has, mastery he has, rulership he has. So we know Rajatvam is a great status enjoyed by the Raja, not the Rajas of today. Those days Rajas enjoyed. Shankaracharya says, suppose a person who has got a wonderful Veena, the music instrument, And he is an expert in playing that veena also. And he gives a concert. Many people attend that concert. And so many people are so happy. So by attending the concert, he made everybody happy by his beautiful veena play. So he has done Jana Ranjanam through his concert. He pleased everybody. So according to the grammar rule, he can be called a Raja also, because he also did Jana Ranjanam. But what is the difference? Even though he can claim himself to be a Raja, but the other Raja, the ruler, what he has got? He has got Samrajyam. He has got sovereignty over a kingdom or an empire. Whereas this Veena Vidwan does not have sovereignty over even perhaps his own house. His wife may not listen, children may not listen, we don't even know. So the word Raja being same, one has freedom, the other one does not have freedom. Similarly, Aparavidya also can make a person jnani in that particular discipline. Paravidya also can. But the word jnani remaining the same, there is a wide difference between these two. So do not take Vedantic study like any other study. Vedantic study is different. Even though the method of study may be same, but this is different study. That's the idea he wants to communicate. So Veenayaha Rupa Saundaryam. Suppose one has a very attractive, very charming form of Veena, the instrument. The Shabda also that it produces is very attractive. So Rupa Drishtya and Shabda Drishtya Cha. It is Janaranjakam. Very nice. Because the player, the instrumentalist, he has got Tantri Vadana Saushtavam. Saushtavam means the expertise or skill. So this Veena player, he has got the Tantri Vadana. Tantri Vadana means in playing over the Veena. Tantri. Tantri is the string. He can please the people by the sound of the music. So because of these two, technically, we can claim, he can also claim to be a Raja. So Shankaracharya says, Prajaranjana Matram Sat. If it is only with respect to pleasing the people, he is a Raja also, because he does Prajaranjanam. That gives a temporary joy to people. When they listen to him, they are happy. He can have a Raja title. But what he cannot have, Samrajya Kalpate. Just like the other Raja who enjoys the sovereignty over the kingdom, this Veena Vidwan Raja cannot enjoy that status at all. So name alone is similar, but it does not give him any power or any statesmanship like the king who enjoys it. Similarly, Jnani status gained by studying Aparavidya and Paravidya. Aparavidya also can lead to a person, a PhD or a Jnani he is called. But the one who has self-knowledge, Atmavidya, that knowledge, that person is different. That Jnani is different. So words being same, the consequences are widely different between these two. That's what Shankaracharya wants to communicate in the shloka, glorifying Atmajnana. Yo Vedadau Swara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya Prakriti Leenasya Parasamaheshwaraha Sri Krishna Arpanamastu.